Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
Let's move on to the waiver wire rankings. And at number one here, I have Zonovan Knight, and I was kind of surprised with how available that he was. He's available in about 50% of leagues on all platforms, Sleeper, Yahoo, ESPN. And we talked about him at length this week.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about him too much. But it basically comes down to this. He's looking like a pretty good running back, right? He was only behind Josh Jacobs in forced missed tackles over the last 2 weeks. He was third in yards after contact per attempt over the last 2 weeks among running backs with at least 25 carries. Okay, so he's good. Michael Carter can be out again this week. He didn't practice at all last week. It's possible. So he would be a solid RB2 against Buffalo. You know, but even if Carter is back, I won't be surprised if the Jets stick with him as their RB1 because I think they found something in him. So, you know, it's possible that you grab Zonovan Knight right now and you potentially have an RB2 rest of season. You know, whether it's a mid RB2, a low end RB2, whatever. Like, I want that. Right.
Yeah.
And then you compare it to James Cook, who I have here at number two. Listen, I really love how the Bills, and I'm comparing these two, like why I have Zonovan at one and why I have Cook at two here.
Right.
And a lot of people would argue the other way around, but I love how the Bills used Cook last week. But we have to remind ourselves that this might not be like a backfield takeover, right? Like, he's a must pickup, but I'm just comparing to the Zonovan Knight situation where Knight can potentially see 15-plus touches every week moving forward on a decent offense. You know, I'm not sure we can say the same for Cook. And we probably know that he's not getting goal line carries. Both Singletary and Nyheim Hines had goal line snaps last week, and Cook didn't. But, you know, 20 opportunities for Cook last week, on Thursday, right? And 15 for Singletary, 4 for Hines. So will there be 39 running back opportunities every week for the Bills? Like, I highly doubt that. So, we've been used to around 15 to 20 opportunities, total opportunities for running backs in this backfield for the Bills. Singletary still led the team in snaps last week, and it's possible that there's a three-man backfield moving forward here. I'm picking up Cook and hoping that the snaps – like, if I'm picking up Cook and I have Cook, I'm obviously hoping that the snaps, like, continue to swing in his favor. Because he looked good. There's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of, like, what do the Bills want to do? We haven't seen, this team really commit to one running back outside of Devin Singletary so far.
Yeah. With the Bills backfield, there's always liable to switch in one direction or the other. But James Cook, I think he definitely bought himself more touches in this game. At least a greater share of the pie, even if the pie isn't that big. I think he'll get some more touches out of that than he was before, because he looked good, like you said. And this game was in control for the Bills most of the time. I know we're going all the way back to Thursday night between Buffalo and New England, but they were in control this whole time. So it makes sense that the running backs were going to get some more touches in this game. the Bills can be in control of other games too, but down the stretch, they have a couple tough matchups actually next week against the Jets. Should be interesting. That's two really good matchups as far as matchup quality go for the Jets. You know, you talk about the Vikings one week and you follow that up with the Bills. They can prove themselves. But with James Cook, I think that he should be a good contributor. I do think Zonovan Knight is more locked in. We talked about, you know, on the podcast yesterday and last week, even, you know, about the waiver wire, that even once Michael Carter comes back, I think that he's definitely, you know, head and shoulders above James Robinson or any Ty Johnson in that backfield for the work. So I think that he'll be getting at least half the work, regardless of who's starting. And if Michael Carter's out, he could see a majority, 60-70% of snaps. I wouldn't be surprised. And like you said, that's going to be huge, especially if you're trying to make your way into the playoffs. But definitely in line to get some more work and rest of the season. His value is up and it's not going to go down as long as he doesn't get hurt.
Like, who would you be more comfortable? Like, let's say Michael Carter plays this week. Like, let's say we know he's going to play. Who would you be more comfortable starting? Zonovan Knight or James Cook?
Still Zonovan Knight. For me, it's pretty clear. I mean, James Cook, like, this was a 1 week that we saw where he actually got the workload and produced at a point where it's like, okay, now we have to pay attention to this. Where Zonovan Knight, he came in relief and he played very well. And then this week again, even in a backfield that he didn't get a whole lot of touches, you know, he was competing with James Robinson and Ty Johnson, obviously, still, he was able to get it done for you. And I think that's really good. He didn't score a touchdown either. So, like, there's still room to grow.
Yeah. I mean, he caught all five of his targets. These past two games, he was involved in the passing game as well. So that's very encouraging for him. And I mean, out of, like, and I mentioned this before when we talked about Zonovan Knight on last week's Waiver Wire show, where, you know, when you look at what he did in college, among all the running backs in this class who had, I think it was 25 targets or more, he had the highest catch percentage out of all of them. Doesn't necessarily mean that he'll do a lot after the catch, like someone like James Cook, but at least he'll be a reliable running back out of the backfield.
It's also worth noting that backup quarterback for the Jets, even though Mike White looks like he's going to be the starter moving forward, he's not really backup anymore, but guys like Mike White and Joe Flacco have been peppering the running backs, you know, with targets. 100%. And they're perfectly capable of catching those passes. You know, it's not like they're throwing to nobodies. Zonovan Knight's going to be able to get it done. I don't expect that to change, you know, moving forward. That's a big part of their game on offense.
100%. Agreed. Good point. So I got Tyler Huntley at number three here. You know, Lamar Jackson being out, you know, you might have lost your quarterback if you're in two quarterback league. You know, Tyler Huntley probably moves all the way up to number one. But if you're in a regular one quarterback league, you still got to pick up Huntley. You know, I think we don't know how long Lamar's going to be out for. And, you know, he's being labeled as week-to-week right now. But the Ravens have been one of the weirdest teams when it comes to injuries. And, like, they don't really let on, you know, how long guys will be out, whether guys will be out, you know, all that. So, you know, Harbaugh does a lot of that disguising all the time. So it's very possible Lamar's out for several weeks, 2 or 3 weeks potentially. So you want to pick up Tyler Huntley now because he'll probably be – you know, a top 12 option this week. And then moving forward, I wouldn't be surprised if I have him in my top eight, right? So, like, it's getting to a point where he could potentially be a difference maker at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, look no further than John Harbaugh's comments after the game where he said, Lamar is day-to-day or week-to-week. It's like, what the heck does that mean? That's like an endless timetable. You don't know what it's going to be. That doesn't tell us anything more than what we, you know, would have known even if he didn't say that. Lamar Jackson, I'm expecting him to be out at least this week, definitely. And then next week, I think that there's a chance that he misses too. I wouldn't be surprised, especially if Tyler Huntley's playing well, they could let him play out the regular season. They're in position to get a playoff spot. And if they want to have Lamar healthy for the playoffs, they might just kind of, you know, take it easy bringing him back. So there's a chance he might miss more than a week or two. You know, he might not be back until the second round of playoffs or your championship, depending on how your playoffs are structured. So definitely pick up Tyler Huntley if you lost Lamar. You want to be, you know, blowing your fab to make sure you get him, because otherwise there's not many other quarterbacks out there that's going to have the type of upside that Tyler Huntley has. And at this point in the season, you know, sitting on the waiver wire, you can't let that go. Even if you don't need him, you know, maybe just in case something would happen and you have an extra bench spot, definitely worth a pickup because he's going to be having some success. We've seen him do it before. He's filled in nicely for Lamar. And like I said, they don't change that offense at all. He's going to have the rushing offense moving. He's going to get the opportunities pretty close, if not exactly what Lamar Jackson was going to get. So he's a priority pickup.
And, you know, if you look at the schedule, like, it's solid. You know, he has Pittsburgh this week, which is a matchup I'm not worried about. Then Cleveland, solid matchup. Atlanta in week 16, that's a you know, a matchup that he could definitely do well in. And then he had Pittsburgh at home at week 17. So this is all overall I would be very happy with this schedule if I have Huntley, and I know that he's going to be my quarterback.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, so I got DJ Shark here at number four. He's somebody that I was, you know, kind of eyeing before the coming into this week because I like the usage that, you know, we saw him, you know, making his first, you know, he had his first game back the week before. And, you know, this past week, decent matchup, and he was able to come through. Now, this week, the Lions are going up against Minnesota. And we know how bad Minnesota is against wide receivers. Very juicy matchup. So, you know, if you need a wide receiver, you need a flex play, go pick up DJ Shark and just plug him in. That's what I would do. Just plug him in. Don't worry about it. Like, just shoot for the upside. You're trying to win this week. And you know what? He might continue to contribute. You know, he caught a touchdown in week 12, right? Yep. But then his snaps went up last week. He has Minnesota. Then he has the Jets. So, you know, not really too excited about that. Then he has Carolina. It's a decent matchup, but it might not be a matchup where the Lions have to throw a lot. So this is really just kind of, you want to pick him up, you know, just to kind of play him this week. That's kind of how I'm treating this. But he's so high in my rankings here because I know a lot of people got to win their weeks this week. And DJ Shark is somebody who could put up a big week this week.
Yeah, 100%. And if you're sitting on a guy, I mean, obviously, you know, Cortland Sutton's out. But maybe if you're sitting on a guy like Jerry Jeudy, do you think you'd pick up DJ Chark and maybe play him over Jerry Jeudy the way that the offense in the matchup, the offense has been playing in Denver? I think about DJ Chark. That's a
great question. Go ahead.
I think he's a worthwhile add. If you're sitting on a receiver, if you've been, you know, holding on to a receiver who hasn't been producing for you at all these past few weeks, you know, they've had quiet weeks and it doesn't look like the offense is getting better, especially, like I said, if you're holding on to a guy like Jerry Jeudy, maybe. I would pick up DJ Chark and throw him in for the upside because this matchup, like you said, is perfect. And it seems like receivers get it done every week. I think he's a more sure thing. If you need certain points, I don't care. You know, Jeudy might have some upside. But in that offense, I'm not looking at, you know, that to be better than what DJ Chark's going to get. Even if he only has a couple of targets, like we saw, he had 6 targets last week. He was able to get it done for you with 14.8 points, high, you know, yards per catch. I'm picking up DJ Chark and hoping for the best that he could get done for you this week if you haven't had anything better at wide receiver. Like, if you're sitting on a third wide receiver spot and you're just starting nobodies, like, I would throw DJ Chark in there and see what he can do.
Yeah, I hear you. It's close between Jeudy. That's a good one because Jeudy is going up against Kansas City. They're not good against slot wide receivers. Jeudy did okay last week against Marlon Humphrey, 65 yards against him. That's solid. If you need safety, I'll probably go Jeudy here. But if you want upside, I think DJ Chark. There's no upside with Jerry Jeudy. But
no.
with DJ Chark, there definitely is upside. So I like that one. That's a good one. I wonder how close they're going to be in my rankings this week.
Yeah.
Then we got Cam Akers here. We talked about him yesterday. This backfield completely shifted in Cam Akers' favor. He had 2 touchdowns in this game, but you know, I wouldn't expect that moving forward. This offense was actually moving the ball a little bit, which I wouldn't expect moving forward either. You know, with John Wolford at quarterback, but, you know, 70% of snaps for Cam Akers in this game. It's not Kyron Williams' backfield anymore. Maybe it will become Kyron Williams' backfield again this week. Who knows? It might flip-flop again. You have no idea. That's why Cam Akers, I mean, he's at 5, so it's pretty high. And he's really at 5 because this is a relatively weak waiver wire week, I would say. It's kind of top-heavy, right?
Yeah. I think it's really top-heavy. Look at the running backs. There's not a whole lot there. I mean, Zonovan Knight, I think there's a good chance if you're in a competitive league that he's picked up, and James Cook might have been riding somebody's bench too. So he's someone that's definitely going to have been available coming off, you know, the past few weeks. He hasn't done a whole lot. You could pick him up and hope that the momentum stays with him for this next week, because the offense didn't look as bad with John Wolford at quarterback. I mean, with Bryce Perkins, it was pretty bad, but John Wolford is questionable, I think, now going into this week because he has a neck injury or something like that. So we'll see how that goes.
I think he's had the neck injury, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it was something that he was already dealing with. So I'm not sure if this is a new injury. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't looked too much into it either. I mean, I kind of tuned out this Rams offense a couple weeks ago. But, you know, Cam Akers, you can't ignore 2 touchdowns on the ground. You have to think maybe he's liable for another one. And it wasn't against a bad team. You know, Seattle is not a bad team. They kept it relatively competitive, so they're able to stay in games. Like I said, the offense still isn't inspiring at all, but if somebody's going to produce, it might be the running back. So if you're short on running backs, I think he could be a good pickup for you. He's not a priority pickup, obviously. If Zonovan Knight and James Cook are there, you want to be, you know, spending your fab up on those guys. But Cam Akers, he could be a consolation prize. It's not great, but he should be good enough for you this week. And if you're adding him for depth, I think that's good too, because if he comes on the end of the season, you know, you could have yourself some value there.
I have Jared Goff up here pretty high, but that's because, again, he sees Minnesota this week.
You can pretty much start anybody against Minnesota. It's not going to, you know, fluctuate that much whether they're going to score a lot of points or not. I mean, Jared Goff, he's been getting it done kind of too. These past few weeks, he's looked a little bit better since that game on Thanksgiving. He hasn't been that bad. Granted, he did play the Jaguars last week, but in a game against Minnesota, you know, the Lions are in the upswing. The offense looks good. Amon-Ra St. Brown's cooking. It seems like they're going to be able to get it done, you know, this week. They've been scoring a lot of points. And Jared Goff, he doesn't have to play perfect for them to score all those points. And if he could just be, you know, somewhat efficient, he's going to have a nice floor for you. So if you need a quarterback and you're not going to get Tyler Huntley, you know, he's pretty much the anti-Tyler Huntley, where Huntley has the upside. And Jared Goff, I think he has a pretty secure floor every week. So if you want just solid production, you need that to get in the playoffs, or you just want to ride out these next few weeks, you know, start somebody, I think Jared Goff can get it done.
Yeah, I think he has like a 30-point ceiling this week. Like, I think Jared Goff can absolutely kill it. Jared Goff, he probably, I would say, like, this game, if I had to guess what the over-under is going to be, like, by Friday, it's probably going to be like 54 points.
Yeah, like, I think it's I wouldn't be surprised. And what do you think Precise is going to have for that? Precise is probably going to have it at like 59.
They're probably going to have it at 70.
Yeah.
You know, I think they had the Chiefs Bengals at like 65 or something like
it
that.
It was, yeah. 60 something.
That's crazy. And then I got Corey Davis here at number 7. You know, like I mentioned, you know, he had 10 targets this past week, but, you know, Mike White threw it like almost 60 times in this game. So, you know, kind of have to understand that, you know, he might not have such a high target share, but he is the clear wide receiver 2 on this offense right now. He's the guy that Mike White is going to go for behind Garrett Wilson. And going forward, Corey Davis can be, you know, fantasy relevant. Remember, before he got hurt, he was the Jets wide receiver 2. He was actually fantasy relevant. We had him on our rosters, if you can remember. He has potential wide receiver 3, you know, weeks in him, you know, in terms of like him, and also like in terms of ranking too. Like, you know, we might have to rank him, you know, in our top 36 or at least close to it. I'm not really worried about this Buffalo matchup, right? He has Detroit the week after that. He has Jacksonville the week after that. He has Seattle the week after that. So with this offense kind of coming on a little bit, this passing offense coming on a little bit, by the way, the Jets are passing it way over expectation, like over the past couple weeks, and that all that changed was the quarterback, right? Like a new quarterback, and the Jets are like, okay, we're gonna pass the ball now. That makes sense.
It's all that pent up, you know, want to be passing, you know, that they didn't do with Zach Wilson because they didn't trust him, and now Mike White, you know, he's dealing, and he doesn't look bad. Mike White was the change that they needed for these guys to be relevant. Corey Davis, you know, like you said earlier in the season, he was a wide receiver 2. And I'd argue he's in a better position right now at quarterback than he was then. You know, obviously it was Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson kind of mixing in there. But Mike White, I think, might be the better passer that he's had this season. And going into a matchup against Buffalo, it's not that scary. I mean, even though Buffalo's defense still is talented, I think that the Jets can move on anybody. I mean, they played against the Vikings, obviously, and they look good, but they also went against the Bears. They've been playing consistent. They have playmakers. And if Garrett Wilson's going to be drawing coverage, Corey Davis, he's a veteran, and that's what young quarterbacks look for. They always find the veteran receivers. That's a trend that we see. So I think Corey Davis is a good pickup. He can fill in and be a nice flex for you this week if he's sitting on your wire.
Agreed. Now, the Seahawks running back situation is very fluid right now, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Kenneth Walker's banged up, right? We don't know if he's going to play. He might play. You have DJ Dallas. He has a high ankle sprain, so most likely not going to play. He had to come back in this game with a high ankle sprain because Tony Jones also got hurt in that game. So Travis Homer had a sprained knee coming into the game. You know, so like all these running backs are banged up right now.
Yeah. At that point, I'm just going to put DK Metcalf in the backfield and see if that scares anybody. You know what I'm saying? I would play somebody else, but we'll see. With the Seahawks running backs, like you said, I think this could be any running back. The healthiest running back is going to be the top waiver priority at the end of the week. I mean, if you're looking to pick somebody up, you could roll the dice and just throw a dart at one of these guys. We'll see how healthy they are. I think that, you know, you said DJ Dallas, he has a high ankle high ankle sprain.
You see, Dallas has a high ankle sprain, which is why I have Travis Homer here.
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't expect him to play if that's the case.
DJ Dallas, I would not expect him to play. Agreed.
Yeah.
Kenneth Walker, he might play. He has a jammed ankle, and Pete Carroll said that, I don't even know what that is, but Pete Carroll said that it's a weird injury, but he still has a chance of playing this week. So keep that in mind. If I'm going to pick up anybody, it's going to be Travis Homer because, you know, he does have a sprained knee, so he might not play this week, but yeah. He did practice in a limited fashion on Friday before he was ruled out. So that is a little bit of a positive sign, I guess, you know, yeah. But it's, you know, now if none of these running backs play, Tony Jones would be up next. And, you know, if you got Tony Jones in your lineup this week, you got some cojones. You got some serious cojones. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Who else? Darwin Thompson is on the Seahawks practice squad. Remember Darwin Thompson on the Chiefs last year? He was everyone's darling. He was everybody's Isaiah Pacheco last week, except Isaiah Pacheco turned out to be good.
It's a new Chiefs running back every year. That's what it is.
We'll see. Yeah, I wonder who's going to be next year. It's going to be. Yeah. I can't wait. And I can't wait to draft them in the first round and watch my team lose.
Yeah. With the Seahawks backfield, just the last word for that. I'm avoiding the Seahawks backfield at this point right now. You know, obviously, if you need to pick somebody up and you're in a bad spot, you can, you know, chase after whoever you want. But me, I'm just kind of keeping my hands off of that because I don't know who's starting. I'm not expecting too much from them. I imagine that the game plan is going to be geared more towards the pass with, you know, they have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf healthy. You know, they have Geno Smith, who's playing very well. There's no reason to hammer away in the run game. If they have, you know, guys like Travis Homer, they might be really thin at running back. So I wouldn't expect that game plan to be geared towards a run game. I just temper expectations. I'm not expecting much from these backs at all this next week.
I'm a little bit of a Travis Homer stan, so you know I might start him if he
he's like he's like start. Your the running back version of Paris Campbell for you. He's waiting for him to get that opportunity.
I kind of like that. I was never as high on Travis Homer as I was on Paris Campbell, but right. You know I that's a good comparison.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.